Hey, welcome to Dogs Are Smarter Than People, the podcast that is weird, but helpful.
Just like it's helpful.
Us in real life. I'm Carrie Jones. I'm an internationally best-selling novelist and reporter, and now a podcaster. And with me, as always, is my husband, Sean Kelly Farrar. What are you, Shawnee?
A man with three names, apparently.
And that means you're going to be a murderer soon, probably.
Oh, that's right.
But every podcast, we do a random thought, and then we give you a little life help, maybe.
Usually based on a dog's advice.
And then a dog tip, right. And it's all meant to be good happiness, man.
Just fun.
So chill back, relax, and maybe you'll learn something.
Or maybe you'll laugh.
Or maybe even both. Hey, it's the podcast.
Baby, you have to be enthusiastic when we start these things.
I'm so sad.
Why are you sad?
I don't know.
Why are you sad?
I just feel a little...
You don't know is not a good answer, baby.
It's the truth.
It's like saying because you're six.
I am six.
Because?
I'm six inside. I think I'm just sad because I feel a little overwhelmed.
By work?
Yeah.
And the state of the world?
Yeah.
And life? And
honestly,
the oppressive heat.
Yeah, I'm sort of selfish because it's really just about work, really.
I think the earth
and I want
is...
a pool. I want a pool.
Oh, we need a pool. I can go to the hardware store and we can just lay in one of those little plastic
I think we
pools.
Should buy a freaking kiddie pool.
Cause... It might start boiling, though.
Oh, my God, I bet it would. Did that ever happen to you
so
growing
shallow.
Up when you were little? Did you have a kiddie pool and it got too hot?
I don't remember that.
Oh, well, it happened in New Hampshire, so I'm assuming in Florida, because...
I don't remember that, because I think if it got too hot, I just left the hose in it and kept it running.
That's a lot of water.
Yeah, but water wasn't an issue as a kid. Number one, I didn't pay it, or it was well water.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Oof. Kids don't really worry about their parents' bills when it comes to stuff like that. Water's free!
Water is free.
To a kid.
So, would you like to hear this random thing?
Yeah, whatever you got for me.
Okay, so there's a site where they have, there's a lot of sites like this, actually. But this one is Bored Panda, and it has all these random, weird things people found on Google Maps.
Oh, I love that.
And they, had to share them. The first one is, kind of sad, because it's this, 22, 23, 24 years ago, right?
Yeah.
And this 40-year-old guy goes missing, right? And another local guy is looking at Google Maps, and he's like, oh, there's a car in this lake. And so he tells the authorities, and it was that guy.
That's crazy.
They, found him 22 years
Will
later because
of
Google Maps.
First picture just for me?
Yeah.
Well, that original viewer, if that's the photo, he's got a good eye.
Well, he does have a good eye, but I think that's amazing.
It is amazing.
And really sad. And then another one, the one I wanted to talk about really quickly, is that when the Google Maps in Poland, at this one place in the air, just in the middle of the air, really freaking high.
That is high.
Is a bunny. Just whew. It looks like it's a flying bunny.
I think technically that's a hare.
Yeah, whatever.
Well, I'm just thinking hares might have greater jumping skills than a regular
dude, that
rabbit.
Is like a Superman hare.
But it's trying to... I mean, it's not even over the edge of the road yet, but it looks like it jumped, it's trying to clear that piece of plowed field and the road.
Yeah.
It is so high.
It's so crazy. And then there's somebody who, on a... on a piece of land, you know how you can pin things or things are pinned?
Uh-huh.
They wrote secret science lab.
Oh,
and there's
made
that
up.
And there's nothing else all around.
there's nothing where they pinned.
Yeah. And there was one where the Google Maps driver forgot to stop his recording, got out of his car.
And took a leak.
And took a leak. So,
that'd be me, right?
I know that's. Totally you.
My Google Maps, it would just every hour or so there'd be a beer can flying, flying out the window.
No, that's not true because Shani doesn't drink
litter.
And drive.
I don't litter.
And he doesn't litter.
I'm going with the I don't litter.
Sean!
I don't drink and drive, baby. Don't get angry. I'm just kidding.
Oh, no, people don't know you. They don't know your
I'm just kidding.
They're going to use this in court someday.
I'm a straight edge.
Oh my God.
What?
You're such a liar.
I'm not a liar. You're
such a liar. So, this is the normal part of our podcast.
This is a serious part.
Where Sean doesn't talk about peeing and drinking and driving and all the horrible things that Sean normally does.
Well, I mean...
Or talks about.
The more you drink while you drive, the more you gotta pee.
Well, that's very true.
But that doesn't have to be alcohol. It can just be water.
Can we move on to the serious part, honey?
Yeah.
Okay, because it's really hot and I want to put the fan back on.
Oh my God. You're gonna short our listeners quality content because it's hot. It is hot. I wasn't sweating until we turned the fan off. And I started immediately.
Okay, so our main thrust of this podcast is called Why Are Publishing Imprints Closing, right?
Oh, this should be important to some wannabe authors, right? Some future authors.
And some actually current.
Oh, that's true. If your imprint closes, you find yourself in this difficult spot, right?
Yeah, you can. So the traditional book publishing world is a bit like the Wild West if cowboys wore pink framed eyeglasses and could quote Derrida, right? So there are some people who are heroes and people are let go, and entire divisions of publishing houses can close and so on, right?
Yes.
And this continues this week, that kind of Wild West atmosphere of the book traditional book publishing world, with changes at the Hatchet Book Group and its announcements on the closure of Workman, Algonquin, Young Readers this September.
You know what? Maybe you should not go to the company whose first name is Hatchet. Because that just implies cutting stuff.
It is so hard to be serious with you.
I know, because serious is boring.
You hurt my heart.
How do I hurt your heart?
Because you just say whatever I think is boring. Like I
say you were boring.
Serious is boring. I want to do the serious part of the podcast because that's what people are listening for, right? That's what the title is about. And you're like, this is boring.
Let me just have one more interjection.
You're
and say that nothing I do with you is boring.
Oh, you're such a liar.
I'm not lying.
So according to editorial director of AYR, which stands for Algonquin Young Readers, Cheryl Klein is her name. She says our backlist and all our books under contract will be absorbed into Little Brown Books for Young Readers list, right?
Yes.
But her team of Ada Lee, Sarah Alpert, I can never say that right because I always do B's and P's in reverse, and Shaylin McDaniel will be gone. And Klein will stay as editorial director for Workman Kids Trade List. I've got to say that none of these names are sexy-ass names for a book publisher.
The names of the companies or divisions?
Yeah, no offense to any of them, but like kind of like maybe they should jazz things up a little bit.
I mean, unless they're surnames, like Hatchet.
Yeah.
Why would you choose?
I don't know.
Workman. Gallows Publishing Group.
Machete. Machete, we make beautiful children's picture books.
That's right.
So anyways, last week, the New York Times, before all this broke, the New York Times' Alexander Alter wrote,
last month, Hatchet Book Group laid off 7 employees at its Little Brown imprint as part of a corporate restructuring, and has since hired 3 new editors to fill positions at Little Brown. These changes followed a reshuffling at the top. Little Brown's former editor-in-chief, Judy Klipp.
You can't read, can you? Do you need your glasses, Grandpa?
No, it's the color of the font.
It's Klain. It's C-L-A-I-N.
Judy Klain left to run an imprint at Simon & Schuster in January. And in March, Sally Kim, who previously worked as the publisher of Putnam, a Penguin Random House imprint, was appointed as the president and publisher of Little Brown, becoming the first woman of color to lead the imprint.
An imprint like Algonquin Young Readers, or AYR, is the way a publisher groups and markets books within the larger umbrella. In this case, Workman, which is within the Hatchet.
Hatchet.
Wow. Hatchet. On publishing book. No, I would love to. Hatchet, buy my book. But like, no, seriously, I can't talk right now. But like, so I think a lot of people don't even know what an imprint is. And it's really like a way of grouping, right?
It's like just a sub company under the main company, right?
So when an imprint like AYR ends, the authors often feel stranded and editorless, and that can be pretty scary for them.
I would imagine so.
Yeah. So last summer, and it keeps happening, right? So like everybody becomes very doom and gloomy, right. Even if they're not involved in these imprints. So last summer, Penguin Random House, PRH, said it was merging Razorbill.
Another great children's title, Razorbill.
Into Putnam Children's. HarperCollins closed Ink Yard, which had been formerly known as Harlequin Teen. Right? So those all happened last summer, too, and there's more that I just can't remember them right now. But when this happens, it's usually about sales, right?
Yeah.
Traditional publishers rely on sales to pay their employees and pay for the books produced and pay the authors and not, like, the whole marketing team, the acquisitions team, like, everything. They pay for everything. It's a business, right? And if the sales are not big enough, then things change.
Hatchet.
Take the razor bill. Sometimes it's about personnel, and sometimes like those changes happen because of vision. Like they just have a different way they want to grow. Like sometimes even I think Jane Friedman may have talked about this somewhere, but she has said before that like sometimes you know like they create an imprint to follow a trend. Like, let's say, like, conservative hedgehogs are getting a lot of press right now and buying, and people are like, I want to make some money to support our other books, so let's make a conservative hedgehog imprint. But then conservative hedgehogs go out of favor for super liberal platypuses. And so they're like, oh, we're going to close this conservative hedgehog thing and we're going to start this super little liberal platypus imprint, right? So while it absolutely stinks for the people who lose their jobs, right, it's a big deal. Or for the authors who lose their imprint and their people and that posse, I guess, of help and it's support. Support,
really, right?
Yeah. It doesn't necessarily mean that the sky is falling for an entire industry. It just means that things are shifting around and changing.
Right. But the question is, as an author, how... Do you get included in the shift, or do you just get, like, hung out, like, dropped? Like,
it really depends. So, like, in this one, like, they're taking all the author's books. Right. But for some people, they're like, you know, they might be taking our books, but we're not going to have that direct link
right.
via our editors to advocate for us. And I've had editors, I've lost editors before, you know. Because of stuff that's happened. And it's very different once you don't have that editor advocate. You have like some other person who's never met who didn't shepherd your book into being with you.
Well, and that's the thing.
They're often not as much of an advocate as your original editor was. Sometimes they're even better, but a lot of the times there's just not that bond and that link there.
That's the thing I was going to say. Even if they're better, you still got to learn them.
Yeah.
Like how to deal with them.
You got to learn them.
No, I don't mean learn them. Like you don't have to teach them.
It's just funny.
But you've got to learn how to work with them, and everybody has their intricacies and differences, you know? And,
they do.
Some people may not mesh.
And
I feel bad for the people that might have felt like they meshed really well with the people they lost.
I've meshed really well with people and lost them.
Yeah.
And that's made me really sad.
It has. I can attest to that.
It has. The end.
Dog! Tip for life! First thing I want to say, baby, is you got some gorgeous legs.
No, not appropriate.
So for this particular subject, I chose... our grand dog, Mr. Murphy.
Alright.
Because even though Pogi could answer the question, she was but a wee pup at the time.
Okay.
I think Mr. Murphy was older, possibly adulthood, when he lost his team.
Oh.
And by that I mean when he was given up for adoption or just abandoned or whatever his case may be, because I can't remember what it was.
They brought him into their shelter after having him for like 6 years and said, we're done with him. Yeah, we're allergic to him now.
And that's just how an author might feel right there.
Yeah.
The editor says, we're allergic to you now. We're dropping you off It's a no-kill shelter, but we're still dropping you off there.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
And Mr. Murphy's like, I'm so sorry. Don't worry. You might get dropped off one or two more times, but eventually you're going to find somebody you can work with wonderfully. And you'll be happy. You'll get treats constantly and be able to lay around all day and fart. Because that's what he does. All right, baby, give us a shout out.
Hey, the music we've clipped and shortened in this podcast is awesome and is made available through the Creative Commons license. Who's that artist and what's that song?
I don't know, man.
You do, you know?
I do. We've been saying it. It's Summer Spleef. I broke for free.
And we have extra content all about living happy on the livinghappy.substack.com blog. And it's pretty awesome. And we also have a writing tips podcast called Write Better Now.
They're both awesome.
But our brand new
amazing creepy podcast is Dude, No! It's like that. You gotta say it like that.
He does say it like that. It's true crime with an occasional foray into the paranormal and the macabre, and it's awesome. And finally, we have a podcast.
Loving the Strange.
Which we stream live.
On Carrie's Facebook and Twitter and YouTube on Fridays, but every other Friday.
Every other Friday now, because we're lazy.
So be sure to check her Facebook and Twitter for the dates when we are going to be podcasting live and making fools of ourselves.
Live.
We're going to do a Hot Wings challenge real soon.
Oh, dear God.
And that's always a good one.
Anyways, all my Twitter handles and Facebook handles and blah, blah, blah. It's either Carrie Jones Books or Carrie Jones Book. Carrie with a C-A-R-R-I-E. Yeah. Thanks for hanging out with us.
Yeah, thank you so much. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share.
And be kind. Be kind to us old people.
Oh, yeah, we can't.